Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Okay, if we're giving random shout-outs to Chicago radio shows, Parkins and Spiegel, obviously the best.
Afternoons on the Score.
Wow, that was weird.
So, let's just take a moment.
Yeah, that was an intense conversation, Danny. You need to breathe, don't you?
I do. Well, because I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
I'm just going to be fully transparent.
I like
here.
That. I like honest.
Fully honest.
Good.
I've seen Ryan Spader's work retweeted into my timeline.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't follow him. He tweets a lot about hardcore statistical things about baseball, and that's not normally my jam. And I will also be totally honest with you. Yeah, I know. Shocking. I know.
What?
I know.
I am shocked every day on this program.
And I'll also be honest with you. I read the thread to prepare for the interview of what those specific accusations had been.
That's enough for your preparation, by the way.
But I was not really familiar with him. Like, I never heard him interviewed before. So I didn't.
I haven't heard him talk that much either. He does co-host a podcast, but I hadn't heard him as a talker. I think he's not usually that slow and that heartsick.
Well, so that's what I just don't. Like, what I'm giving you here in the disclosure is like, the man sounded depressed, like his dog was being kicked by the game of baseball in front of him on a loop. While he was being tortured,
yeah,
and set on fire on his birthday, like it was, that was wild. Like that's a grown ass man who is devastated personally and hurt,
yes,
by a sport. And I'll just be honest with you, like I don't get in that headspace very often.
No, I understand.
Like that's
I can get kind of close to it sometimes.
You're a little bit more of a sports romantic than I am,
yes.
in that way.
And specifically about adding all of the other emotions and having it kind of reflect your life. And, you know, he's been a very, very passionate, active, crazy active. I don't mean crazy, but like just super active tweeter about stats for a long time. And it's always been, it's always come at me a little manic, like on the, just like too much, like. I stopped following at one point just because it was like, it was relentless and it was constant and it was like, whoo, I can't even keep up,
right. Know,
with that kind of thing. And he's always talked about his military experience as well. It's a very interesting guy. Ivy League grad, economics major, former hedge fund manager.
Oh, he's clearly not dumb.
No.
Clearly not dumb.
But incredibly passionate and invested,
yeah,
in the beauty of baseball. And what I think we just heard is the flip side of that, you know, intensity, where guy is genuinely heartbroken. He puts a ton of emotion, importance, and a ton of his, like, experience of the world into baseball and stats and loving the game.
And he feels like the stats that he's invested in are not valid and that the game has been cheated in some way by the game itself, and he feels let down by the sport that he loves.
And his emotions that he's put into it have been taken advantage of. You know what I mean? Because his investment has been that high. And that might be very hard for some people to relate to.
It's hard for me to relate to.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest. But no judgment. Like, whatever gets, your rocks off. Like, however you got to go through life and what you care about or whatever. But I just...
You saw our text thread earlier today when Shane sent that thread and I hadn't seen it. At that point, and he said he was putting him on. I had a little bit of, oh, God, just because he's always been so intense to the point of questioned stability a little bit.
And I got to, like I said, frankly, we didn't really talk about that, so I didn't know what kind of guy we were getting. That was interesting. I don't know if I've ever quite done an interview like that. But so that aside for a minute, and he has not DM'd me the video that he says is evidence of more sign stealing in the game, but maybe it's just because I'm a cynic, or a gambler, or...
But you're not a cynic.
You're right.
I guess you're not a cynic.
Pragmatist?
You're a pragmatist.
Maybe I'm a pragmatist.
You're a rational thought provider.
Yeah. And I will also admit that, like, last year and a half...
Has been tough.
Real tough.
Oh, yeah, tough.
On my life.
On your life, yes.
But I'm saying, personally, yes. Yep. Dad's health, Alzheimer's, brother's health,
the panorama,
brain cancer, the panorama, working with Shane, it's son in the hospital. It's been harder for me, and I've talked about this a little bit on the show, in the last year and a half to get like sports mad because it's like,
right.
It really put it in perspective when it's like, I had like seven things happen in a short period of time.
I've got too much effing perspective.
I got too much perspective. So I just like sports for the release, puff on a little something, gamble on a little something, watch sports for the enjoyment.
Yeah. When's the last time you were sports hurt to any extent, like emotionally damaged sports?
It's been a while. Yeah. Like I've had enough real life stresses or whatever, and I just share that with the audience to be honest with you that like I can't really get there on sports right now personally. Doesn't mean I don't love them, doesn't mean I'm not watching them every night, but like the personal hurt, not really there.
And what's interesting, you and I were talking before the show, I'm so annoyed with our game right now.
Well, and so that I think is interesting because you are the baseball romantic. I've always had a love-hate relationship with baseball. You see the game, you will acknowledge its flaws and that this isn't the best version of it, but you still seem to love it basically as much as ever. But I am getting the sense that that is waning. So let's put Ryan Spader's accusations aside and be like, okay, maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong. Shocking. People are cheating. People have been cheating throughout the history of sport. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. There's a reason why that's a mantra. But just Matt Spiegel, baseball romantic, baseball, you salute the game, good vibes, all that.
I hate that guy.
How are you feeling about it right now?
Annoyed. Annoyed. Okay. And I can't put his stuff aside because I don't doubt him. I don't doubt this stuff. I don't doubt that he's heard this stuff from players. And it's probable that if the Royals... I loved watching that Royals team defy baseball convention. I think their strikeout rate was like 13%.
Yeah, it was the whole model was we can't really afford power hitters and ace pitchers, so we're going to go with athletes and contact guys and put the ball in play and rely on our athleticism and our defense.
And speed. They were like Whitey Herzog Cardinals teams, and you're like, oh my God, they're doing it. And now, are they going to launch an investigation into that? And do I have to deal with the day-to-day annoyance and sadness of an investigation about another level of cheating? Like, all this stuff, am I not allowed to think that Aaron Judge figured it out as a 24-year-old guy with that power and that structure and that swing and that athleticism or that Beltre, like it's putting all this stuff into question in the same way that the Royds stuff did, but this is higher. This is institutional. It's so freaking annoying that, but of course this is corporate world, right? That some entire teams and organizations might do this. And it feels like yet another conversation I'm going to have about the part of the game that bothers me the freaking most. As opposed to coming in here and talking about this guy was good, this guy was bad, this was interesting. Willie Harris's send of Jake Marisnick was crazy. Why did he do that? I mean, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that stuff. But here we are, And here that threat is facing me with a freaking another decade of talking about scandal and cheating. It sucks.
Well, you can just watch the games if you want to. I personally don't have the like ability to intellectually turn it off, right? Like I read the front page of the newspaper. I'm interested in world affair, politics, and I like that stuff. So I don't have that ability to like just play in the toy department.
I probably do when it comes to watching the games, but then we come on here and we got to talk about the games, and I want to talk about the games, and Sunday mornings I want to talk about the games and write about the games.
Right.
And I can't. I'd be disingenuous. I'd have to make a choice to be intellectually vacant to kind of ignore this stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. But so I get my question here is that like, so if everybody was doing it, right? That's basically what where we're at. Everyone was doing it.
Everybody's doing everything.
And now no one's going to be able to do it. Isn't it an equal playing field? Just on the topic of sticky stuff, not on the topic of sign stealing and some team and the banging on the trash cans and misuse of video.
Yes.
But just on the issue of sticky stuff.
That's yes.
If it was being enforced for no one and now it's being enforced for everyone, yeah, it might be haphazard and poor leadership
and bad timing and clunky
and bad timing and a weird rollout and sure.
But it absolutely needs to happen. 100%.
And it's a level playing field. Like, Yu Darvish was cheated by the Astros because they were doing something that his team wasn't, allegedly. We don't know that they weren't doing it, but we think that they weren't. He got shelled. He lost money. His playoff reputation was damaged. He didn't get a ring, right? Like Yu Darvish, that is at least an example where it was a competitive imbalance.
And then he was signed and he sucked and was damaged goods while he was here, and that damaged the Cubs.
Right. And so, but the sticky stuff doesn't feel like that to me. Does that make sense? Am I articulating that correctly? Because the sticky stuff, it feels like if they weren't enforcing it for anyone, well, then the Cubs could use it and the White Sox could use it and the Astros could use it and the Dodgers could use it. And yeah, maybe some team has some pitchers that used it more than others, but
I agree.
Anybody could have used it as much as they wanted to.
So it's not a competitive advantage issue in terms of wins and losses for a specific organization.
It was an equal playing field. It was an equal playing field of a lack of enforcement.
Well, but it's the pitchers against the hitters, which is the entire thing. It's the entire point of the game. Or at least the basis of the game that has been uneven.
But at least in terms of the wins and losses.
Yes, in terms of the wins and losses, and that's the difference between the way you love baseball and the way that I do, or the way that Tanny does, or the way that others do.
Yeah,
that I really do care about that balance.
Like, right.
I want the hitter and the pitcher to go up there with an equal shot, or not quite an equal shot, but, you know, with a reasonable, logical shot at doing what they need to do. And right now, hitters are up there. Stephanie Epstein was on with Bernsie and Rahimi today, and she shared a story from Charlie Blackman of the Rockies, who says that now, because of the spin, he doesn't trust the way he has been hitting his entire life. The spin is to such an extent that he's used to picking up the ball at some point and then his brain going, oh, I know where that's going to be, and at least being able to get a bat on the ball. Now he doesn't. So now he's fighting himself in that split second. He's like, I better not swing there. That doesn't work anymore. Like, he's completely screwed up. So that's the damage of the sticky stuff, and that bothers me. But to your point, yeah, it's not about a specific organization unless they do it better than the others. And for a little while there, I think maybe the Astros were.
Well, can I just also point out, to the universal baseball lover to my left and to the host of the Locked On Sox podcast, I just would like to point something out, that would be the Astros and Adrian Beltre and the Yankees and the 2015 Royals. You know a team he had nothing on? 2016 Cubs. Pure champions, my friend. No cheaters on the north side. You want to believe that? Pure World Series. It was a dynasty. Everyone else was just cheating. Asterisk on all the titles around the Cubs, except 2016. This statement from Scott Boras. As former Major League pitcher Brandon McCarthy suggested, MLB knew as did all GMs, including Michael Hill, that clubs for years have taught pitchers to use a variety of gripping agents. This was the, quote, custom and practice of all MLB teams, and the commissioner's office was fully aware their technical rule was ignored by them and all teams. Certainly, the latest iterations of gripping substances and advances in performance measuring technology illustrate that we have gone from the grip freeway to performance-enhancing autobahn. Everyone agrees limiting legislation is required, and the commissioner's office should have acted years before. There can be a certified gripping agent akin to the distinction between corticosteroids and anabolic steroids when one is considered an aid and the other is defined as performing enhancing, yet both are steroidal in form. However, to completely abolish gripping agents, other than rosin, creates a major issue, salute, as all MLB pitchers were taught by their respective teams control of the baseball with the use of gripping substances. To suggest pine tar can be used on bats by the very same players that play defense is truly an umpire's conundrum. The pitcher hits using pine tar and is suspended for applying the substance to the baseball, or the position player with pine tar on his throwing hand from the prior at bat transfers it to the ball, and then both he and the pitcher are deprived of 10 days of performance for legal use of a permissible substance. The gray divide continues. God, I wish he was my agent. That's a well-crafted statement.
He wants to be the commissioner. Really, actually, what he wants to be is the players' union rep. He knows that Tony Clark is bad. And he is, and Boris would like to be the unified voice. So he figures if he just gets enough clients and keeps shouting loud enough, then maybe he'll end up in the room negotiating
the CBA.
In many ways, because
there's a lot of stars there. And I guess when you have Star Wars, then who best to handle it than the Jedi?
He wants to be the Jedi.
I can turn a phrase. All right, baseball lovers on the other side of the glass.
JBJ is kind of the PPJ of the major leagues. You know, he's okay. Sweet, smooth, and... He spreads it all over and covers it well.
It's Jackie Bradley Jr.
All right. Scott Boras notwithstanding. Wow. Are you guys having any sort of existential crisis about your game?
No, man. Now when you have the best effing team in the American League to talk about, you know, we do. I have concerns. I won't speak on Herb's behalf. He's right here because Shane is not here, thankfully.
Why is Shane not here?
I don't know. Who are we talking about? My concern here is when they try to make changes midstream. We all know the problems with leadership from the top down with baseball. But I hate that they can't get out of their own way, and I hate when they try to mandate things while teams are already – you know, in the middle of a championship season, their first 162-game season in 2 years, and now all of a sudden you're telling all these guys they have to do things differently. If you want to crack down, really do a good job in the offseason of communicating, you know, have a consensus among everyone, hitters, pitchers, okay, what is fair to have out there? Cody Decker was on the station earlier today talking about sunscreen and rosin does nothing for spin rate. So why not allow that going forward? It's fine. You know, just the fact that they just do it midway through the season, it just feels like they just have no idea what they're doing. And that's the most frustrating part. And there's so many issues with baseball, and you worry about the long-term health of the game and kids liking it and stuff like that. But just from my perspective, I just, you know, just do it one way or the other, but just not while the season's already halfway over almost, you know, or a third of the way through. So
yeah, I mean, the fact that they're cracking down on everything is admittedly frustrating, and they don't have an approved substance, and sunscreen could be it. But the truth is they're enforcing the rule as it stands, which is don't use anything. And if they wanted to try and do anything else with rules in that way, they'd have to collectively bargain it and sit down and talk to these guys about
right.
it. And maybe they will in the offseason. But the easiest thing to do is just to ban everything, because that's the existing rule as it is. And then umpires don't have to play detective out there and be like, is that sunscreen or is that firm grip? Come here, let me smell that. It smells like firm grip, but it looks like, you know what I mean? It's a crazy ask.
It is a crazy ask.
It's a crazy ask as it is, but asking them to differentiate between substances.
It's cleaner to do it this way. Both are crazy asks, trying to get tested out there like you're testing like the chemicals in a pool or
right.
something. Like, oh, we're going to measure the chlorine here or the pH acid here. As you can tell, I've been trying to learn about pool mechanicals. That's a relatable reference.
Tell you what, nobody judges pH balance like Laz Diaz. He's the best I've ever seen at doing that.
In my 50 years of baseball.
Herb, do you care about this?
About them cheating? No, not necessarily. I care about them doing in the middle of the season. This could have been done with a memo at the beginning of the year, like they usually do, like calling strikes on the outside zone, like, and people like, oh, I don't like that. But they do it at the beginning of the year, people get used to it, and they're like, okay, I'll adjust to that. When they do it right in the middle of the season, like, hey, we're cracking down now, all the guys are like, what the hell's going on? You could have had this whole offseason to tell us, guys, I know we've been doing it. Let's cut it out. It's the same thing with the steroid thing. Everybody knows they did it, and now the numbers show the huge drop-off of hits, RBIs, runs, home runs, and now they're concerned about it. Instead of being proactive, they're reactive all the time.
And we all know Manfred is just a pawn for the owners to use. And you
that's
know,
I
like Bernstein's point earlier, you know, bringing up the potential, you know, labor strife that we are looking at in the near future here. Is it an intentional ploy by the commissioner to create division with among the players before this labor agreement has to be reached?
Yeah, I don't know that it's intentional, but
they're
I'm
not
sure
smart enough to do that.
But I'm sure they don't mind it. Got pitchers versus hitters as part of your backdrop for the CBA in the offseason. It's great. It sucks, doesn't it? I know you hate talking about it, dude.
I find it to be joyless. I find it to be, like I said earlier about the Astros point, it is absolutely a part of the product that we're watching. So, of course, it's valid, right? The pitchers are dominating the hitters like never before. This will help move some of the power back in the hitter's direction. Theo Epstein's 10-year plan to give us the best product, best possible version of baseball. So I get why it matters. But as a practical, like, discussion point, it's totally joyless. And everyone is doing it. So I can't, it's not cheating. It really isn't cheating because everybody has been allowed to do it, and now nobody will be allowed to do it. So you know what I mean? I can only get so outraged over it when all of the games that I've been watching for years have been doing. I've watched a lot of baseball in the last 10 years. They've been doing this. How angry can I get retroactively about it? I don't really have that in me.
There is aesthetic benefit of the regulation of sticky stuff on the back end that I don't think you've allowed yourself to live in. There is benefit.
I want to get there, though. We will get there.
Yeah. Like, maybe it's a month. Maybe it's 3 weeks. I don't know what kind of pitchers some of these guys will be in a month, frankly. Some of these guys will not be as good. And some other guys you'll suddenly have more of appreciation for. Say, Dallas Keuchel or Zach Davies or Kyle Hendricks. Like, the artful pitching. And that could end up being more necessary methodology of a higher percentage of people, because the special guys at the top end should be fewer. You know, everybody isn't Bob Gibson. Everybody isn't Nolan Ryan. Justin Verlander stopped being Justin Verlander, and then this stuff helped him continue to do it and have another life. So those guys will get more rare, and we'll see more battlers, and we'll see the art of deception come back into play, as well as more balls in play. And I think those things will bring more joy and aesthetic benefit.
It is absolutely worthwhile. I just think the idea right now of how they get there is fairly joyless and not at all about the games that we're all watching anyway. But
let's check in a month. It's going to be better.
Well, okay. But
I hope.
I did come up with a way. Shane and I were discussing before the show.
Yeah.
Well, whoever he was, I don't remember. He shall not be named. But I think I found an idea to make this fun for the show. It cost us about $40. It's already happened. I will explain it to you coming up next on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool and in the know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
Yes. Okay. We gave you some serious, we gave you some analytical, we gave you some downright depressing, which was not what we were intending, in the conversation about the sticky stuff in baseball.
I want fun. I think it's time for appointed, dedicated, scheduled fun, Danny. Deliver.
Okay.
I need it. Let's go.
Okay. A $42 expense was greenlit today before the show to deliver to the Parkins and Spiegel mob.
Yeah.
A big ass jar of spider tech.
As it should. You know, it's about time.
We are going to.
Oh, hell yeah.
Rub it all over our hands and throw office supplies around the studio and film it.
Can we measure? Can we get an Edutronic camera to measure the spin rate of a stapler as it hurtles towards Shane?
All right. Well, that, I'm just excited about it because Shane took today off to go sit in the second row behind the dugout with Dan Bernstein at the Sox game, and he promised us tremendous content. And so far, he tweeted a picture of Dan Bernstein's white legs with sunscreen not on them, and a picture of Ronnie Woo Woo.
Red hot content.
Thank you,
by the
Shane.
Way, the Ronnie Woo Woo is not even like proprietary content. I saw many other people tweet that Ronnie Woo Woo was there. Alyssa Bergamini, one of the people that tweeted Ronnie Woo Woo was
what
there.
What a content machine this imposter is.
Just, who would have thought that just going to a Sox game with Bernstein would yield this?
Maybe he doesn't
content.
Even cook his own meat. You ever thought of that? Maybe
Shane?
He's just a big fraud on Instagram.
My God, he follows somebody who has a living room and a counter that looks just like his.
He did cook us a great steak lunch in front of us.
Fake news.
There was that,
fake.
They can really fake a lot of things these days.
The deep fakes. You can't trust it.
He's a catfish.
A lot of bad info about Shane's meat out there. But spider tech.
Okay.
What do you think would be the most fun thing to throw in a radio studio with spider tech on your hands?
A co-host. It's my first thought.
So you're going to launch me with spider tech.
I wouldn't be able to. That's the thing. This stuff,
I would stick to you. It'd be your worst nightmare.
Yeah, this stuff was like designed by people who they sold it for strongman contests. So like people who are losing their power as they carry giant boulders down the street like are aided by this stuff. And then they're like noticed the sales. Like, hey, we're selling a lot of this stuff. Who's buying it? Oh, it's Major League pitchers. That's who. I love that little part of it. So yeah, everything's going to stick to us. Everything.
But they throw the baseball. The baseball
clearly
does leave their hand, right? I watch the game. The baseball does normally leave their hands.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if I put spider tech on my hand, and then throw this water bottle, am I going to be able to have it leave my hand? Am I going to spike it into the ground? Is it going to be like the ball sticking to Yadier Molina's chest protector?
It's a good question. Are you strong enough to throw a water bottle with a hand covered in spider tech?
I don't know the answer to that, but we're going to figure it out. This is how we're going to make baseball conversation about sticky stuff fun again, by doing it ourselves.
And we're the first people to do it.
I haven't seen a show do this.
I haven't seen a show do it either. I saw Dempster had some, I think, the other night.
Did he?
And some people have done tests and experiments, but us as a show.
Well, this, I promise you, will not be a scientific experiment. There will be no control group. We're not going to measure really anything.
When's it coming?
It's going to take a few days.
I know. Are you not a Prime member? What's going on here?
It wasn't available on Prime. But we're gonna throw things at Shane.
I think
maybe?
That's a great call.
Right? I think that's an idea.
Yeah.
One time I knew somebody who invited me to a fruiting. And you might say, well, what's a fruiting? This person had a $300 outstanding debt to another individual. And they had no ability to pay the $300. And so the person who had loaned out the $300 had plenty of money. And so he wasn't really concerned about recouping the $300.
But he wanted to exact some revenge in the form of entertainment.
So he agreed to wipe the $300 debt clear if he was allowed to purchase $300 worth of produce to hurl at the person who owed him the debt.
So he went $300 more
into
debt
expense. But again, it wasn't debt for this person.
He spent another $300 on the situation.
Now, this was a long time ago. This was back in high school. So, you know, I don't condone this type of activity, young and stupid or whatever. But the point is that was the last time I was really in a sanctioned position to throw things at people. But maybe we get some oranges and we put some Spider Jack on our hands. And we throw them at Shane.
I think round produce. I think that's a great call.
It's an idea.
Let's check the effect of Spider Tack when we throw a red pepper, when we throw an apple, an orange, an avocado.
Yeah, we have
the technology.
A lot of things here. We have a camera. We have Spider Tack on the way, and we have a target in the form of Shane Reardon. He said he wanted to give us content for going to this White Sox game.
He owes us.
Now he owes us.
This is a good call.
Like the guy who was in debt during the fruiting back in 2004.
The fruiting. it's tremendous.
The fruiting heard around the North Shore. Uh-huh. We will be able to throw things at Shane.
I wonder if my bar mitzvah band played that fruiting.
I'm not sure. I don't remember.
We still need to figure that out. If in fact, yeah.
Yeah. We've got a lot of possibilities here once we get the Spider Tack, and I'm very much looking forward to it. But something I haven't done in a long time is eviscerate a coach. Whew. I got a juicy target for you today, Spiegs. It's next on The Score.
Hart, played by Holiday.
You have to think Durant will get the ball here on this play. Possibly a post-up opportunity. Hart is waiting too long.
Good pressure defense by Milwaukee now. Durant fires and hits! With the shot clock running down, he hits from downtown. 4-point lead for the Knicks.
Marv Albert on the call. It was an awesome NBA game last night, even if at times it was maddening. Nets take a 3-2 series lead over the Bucks. Kevin Durant with one of the single greatest games in NBA playoff history. First person ever to have more than 45, 15, and 10. He had 49 points, 17 rebounds, and 10 assists in a Game 5 win over the Bucks.
If you missed it, watch at least just the full Kevin Durant extended highlight. You can see that compilation, see him scoring in 1,000 different ways, seeing the floor so well, playing every minute, as you mentioned, every minute of the game, not dunking all the time, necessarily finishing with touch, to conserve a tiny little bit of energy here and there, like brilliant. And then big threes late in the game, showing he could score on you any way he wanted to. For people who've wanted to see what it looks like, could Durant do it alone? He did it alone last night.
It was incredible, and I have a lot more on this. We have a lot more on this in just a second, but I do want to build the drama live of what's happening in the White Sox game. It's on the TV over there in the corner here. What's going on, boys? How are we in this situation?
Enough for the we. What are we talking about? We. What's going on here?
7-6.
Got a mouse in your pocket over there.
Sox on top of the Rays. They just brought a friend of the show, Evan Marshall, in to get the last out in the eighth inning.
Yeah.
Instead of a Liam Hendricks 4-out save.
Yeah, a bit of a rocky inning. It was an error by our guy, Speaks, Danny Mendick, with a really bad error to start things off, and the floodgates opened up for the Rays there at that point, but they're still leading 7-6, the Sox are. And then, you know, bummer, you know, Tony comes out, emotions for the righty, and you're thinking, oh, okay, Liam Hendricks time, 4-out save. That's what you paid him all that money for. And, no, it's Evan Marshall coming in from the bullpen.
You guys want to first guess this one?
Yes.
Well, the process is wrong.
Yes.
Like, firstly, Aaron Bummer wasn't pitching poorly. He gave up a run, but it's an unearned run because of the error. He got Austin Meadow, Yandy Diaz to hit into maybe a ground ball double play, but it was a tough run for Timmy to get to the base and then throw the ball. So a run scores on that one. Then he strikes up the next guy, looking really good against Francisco Mejia. And then Manuel Margot, a light-hitting center fielder, comes up. He's like, let's get righty-righty.
Now,
the process is wrong.
Margot's splits are noticeably better against lefties than they are righties. But Bummer is a guy that, if anything, has reverse splits. Like, Bummer's a guy who gets everybody when he's,
exactly,
when he's good. There's no need to do this unless you're going to go to Hendricks. There's no need to do it.
And we would have both been fine with Liam Hendricks coming in for a 4-out save. That's the reason why you get Liam Hendricks. He's a more than 3-out guy.
Correct.
All right, so a little bit of tension here.
with the Locked On Sox podcast that is locked in on this White Sox game, and I'm sure they are just enraptured by this NBA commentary that we are also going to get into.
But I'm not just going to share enraptured. I can't.
Did it work?
Enrapture. I'm going to see if enraptured is a thing. Hang on.
All right, this is one segment for the show tonight, Herbie. copy and paste that right there.
No, you're right. You're good. You're good.
Thank you.
Enraptured, give intense pleasure or joy to. Yeah you're good.
Thought so. Thank you. You're welcome.
Good job.
So we'll update you on that as it happens. But so I'm watching this game last night.
Yeah.
Right?
Seeing Durant dominate with a James Harden playing with 1.5 hamstrings.
It was James Harden was a corpse out there who was able to play. I mean, I'll pull up the box score right now.
Yeah, no, I saw at one point he had no points. at one point, I was like, wow, James has played a lot of minutes and there are no points.
Well, the key there is a lot of minutes.
Yeah.
He played 46 minutes of 40. And now part of Durant's the amazement was that he played the full 48 minutes and had 49 points in 48 minutes.
James Harden played 46.
And the Bucks and Budenholzer never forced the action to make him work on defense. It was an insane thing. Like every Milwaukee Bucks possession.
Wait a minute. James Harden is one of the worst defenders in the worst one-on-one defenders in the league to begin with.
Correct. And every time down the floor, the Bucks were not running actions. It was just ISO, 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 ISO. Nonstop. It was ridiculous. Every single time.
Can you say ISO a little more?
ISO. This is what it was. I am not exaggerating it.
That guy's a real ISO.
Maybe they would run a screen to get like a post up for Giannis. But then you know what they would do? ISO. Like it was insanity. There wasn't a single cutter. There wasn't a single person.
How about a pick and roll where you go after James Harden, make him make a decision defensively?
I know. Just like the most obvious thing in the basketball book. Whoever Harden is guarding, that guy goes and sets the screen to bring him into the action to force him to work on defense. No, Harden's just guarding whoever's in the corner every single time. Ridiculous. And Giannis, first team All-NBA defense.
Yes. Former defensive player of the year.
After the game, it's like, next game I want the challenge of guarding Kevin Durant. How about this game? how about game five? How about the game where he's having the single greatest performance in the history of the NBA playoffs?
Well, you were telling me about P.J. Tucker 2 games ago playing this crazy physical brand of defense on Durant.
Durant very clearly took that personally because P.J. Tucker had his lunch money stolen from him. Kevin Durant was abusing P.J. Tucker. That was great for one game, and it was real, but whoo boy, it was not sustainable. And can you double team Kevin Durant? Can you deny him the ball? Can you put the 7-footer on him? Can you run a pick and roll and maybe make James Harden not be able to play for 46 damn minutes when he is limping around the court last night? Like, it was, dude, oh my God.
Yeah, attacking a guy on defense who's a soft spot. It's like, imagine a cornerback limping out there and covering Allen Robinson and not bothering to throw him. Andy Dalton would never do such things.
I mean this definitively. Kevin Durant had 49 points, 17 rebounds, and 10 assists, and the Nets should have lost by 10. There is no reason for the Nets to win that basketball game last night if they did not have a corpse of a coach on the sideline. Budenholzer should not be allowed to coach game 6. How did that at bat end?
Manuel Margot with a double to the left center field gap that scores the tying run. The White Sox now tied at 7 with the Rays after Margot worked the count full. Marshall was ahead 0-2, wasn't he? Just could not put him away.
Yeah, could not. You know, didn't have the dominant stuff to put him away.
That Liam Hendricks would have.
Oh, maybe the high-priced closer who loves to work more than 3 outs.
But the thing is,
would
too,
be a choice.
He was throwing a lot of balls up there, and seeing that Manuel Margot is in swing mode, throw the ball above his head. Because he just threw him a changeup that he was kept on fouling off consistently.
This is why you don't go to Evan Marshall in that spot. because Evan Marshall is a guy who does it with guile and wisdom and art, yeah. And I appreciate that. And, but if you've got the flamethrower to put him away, you bring that guy
in. And I don't have Evan Marshall issues. You know, I would put Marshall ahead of Hoyer. You know, when Hoyer went out there, I would have Marshall in that spot instead. But you don't do that. He's not the bridge between Bummer and Hendricks. That's not his role.
That has been proven that he's not that guy this year.
Maybe Budenholzer should manage the White Sox and Tony La Russa should coach the Bucks. Flip it up. Topsy-turvy. Hmm. So now he's got to be in for... Okay.
No, it's 7-7. Game's been tied. So now...
No, I'm saying Marshall was still in. Okay. No. I looked away. So yeah. So he's in. Now they're out of the inning. 7-7. And they go to the ninth.
Wow.
Tough These time. Fans deserve a walk-off. I know Shane does. He's worked hard all week.
Yeah. He's provided us such great content on the show. I'm really happy for him enjoying himself at the old baseball game.
I thought we were going to set up a direct line, and I was going to tell him things to shout at the players.
You know, it's funny about that. You know, I thought, you know, on the tech side here, I was waiting to say, hey, you know, Shane is going to say, okay, here's what line I'm on. Let's test it out, see how it sounds. I don't know what's happened there. I have not gotten one phone call, one text message, one, hey, let's test the line.
He did tweet, skipping Parkins and Spiegel today, LMAO. So
that was real funny.
Yeah. Beautiful day, sitting in the third row during the show. I get it.
Okay.
Content king, my ass. That guy over there. Well.
So were there any ISOs that the Bucks ran last night?
ISO.
That's my takeaway from the segment. Just keep saying ISO.
Well, here's the thing. For the Milwaukee Bucks fans in our listening audience, and I think
there are
a lot.
Which there are many.
I do not.
That's what I've heard.
I don't know how you build a championship contender or a championship team around Giannis.
He's flawed.
He is flawed.
He's a great 82-game player. Buddy, I said this the other day. He's an 82-game superstar, but he's questionable in 16 games. 16 is for the playoffs.
He absolutely is. I know he had the yips again last night at the free throw line. He's had a 10-second violation in these playoffs at the free throw line.
That was truly humiliating.
Yeah, and that continues to be an issue. And also, it's just... He's a wonderful player, but he's not a shot creator from the perimeter when you absolutely have to have it. And you need that guy, whoever it's going to be.
Right. And the big three is Middleton, all-star caliber wing, but a catch-and-shoot shooter type.
He's a shot maker as opposed to a shot creator.
Right. And Holiday is maybe the best defensive point guard in the NBA.
And a great facilitator.
Yeah, but not a pure scorer.
Right.
And so you need the secondary option off of Giannis to be a shot creator for themselves. Like, Zach LaVine would be very good opposite Giannis. You know, James Harden would be very good opposite Steph Curry. Those type. Now, obviously, Steph Curry is one of the best players in the NBA. James Harden, one of the best players. So that's an obvious statement. But like, a more pure, give the ball to him, go get a bucket offensive piece is, you know, exploring a Chris Middleton, Pat Connaughton, and draft picks for Bradley Beal type of trade, right? Like, bring Bradley Beal, like a more pure scorer, onto the Bucks opposite Giannis is something that I would think that they should be interested in this offseason. And, oh yeah, by the way, a coach who will do anything. Who will literally do anything.
Who will scheme to fit the talent and scheme to attack the opposing defense.
It's the Mike McCarthy of the NBA. It's real bad. It was a laughable basketball game last night by the Milwaukee Bucks. They honestly should be humiliated they didn't win that basketball game.
I wish I laughed more. We laughed some in this hour. That was good. We got away from the sadness.
Well, joining us next is a former pitcher who says Major League Baseball is doing it all wrong.
But he's entertaining. He is entertaining.
He is. He's going to light them up. It's Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.